you're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and producer Trav in our usual locations of Henderson, Nevada and beautiful San Jose, California, respectively. And we got a good show today. This is exciting. We are feeling really good about this week's episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And speaking of our friends at Coors Light, we got to give a little bit of love to them this week because they are now officially a founding partner of Allegiant Stadium, beautiful Allegiant Stadium, an official partner of the Las Vegas Raiders, in addition to the incredible work that they do with our humble little program. Molson Coors has also become the official domestic beer, as well as the official craft and hard seltzer of the Raiders and Allegiant Stadium. So congratulations to them, man. We're very excited. In addition to them sponsoring the pod and all that good stuff, we have a lot of really fun, exciting, innovative things coming at you in 2020. So before we got into the program, just off the top, wanted to give a little bit of love to the good people at Molson Coors. And we got a good show today, man. We are officially, and I can't believe that the calendar has dictated this, but we are now for the next couple weeks doing our, I wouldn't say positional previews, but quote unquote training camp previews. The Silver and Black scheduled to report to camp in just about, let's call it 3 weeks. 3 weeks at their new facility out here in Henderson, which means we are getting right in to our offensive, defensive, and my personal favorite, special team six packs. And this week, we're starting with the offense. But before we do, before we get into the six pack, and we welcome in the great Kyle Martin Media, who's going to go wire to wire with us today. And I talked to him a little bit before we started recording, and he's locked in this week. Usually we get a 4 to 5 out of 10 on the booby scale. He's feeling good this week. He's going to work. So a couple quick headlines before we welcome in the great KMM. The big one, the news that everyone's talking about, and it's probably, it's good news for the Chiefs, pretty terrible news for everyone else. Pat Daddy Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year extension to his contract. Oh my goodness. Me, oh my. Pretty sure this puts him under contract to 2032 because he's got a couple years left on his rookie deal. Schefter says he's looking at close to $500 million in total money when all is said and done. And man, I guess if you're the Chiefs, you really had to sit back and let Mahomes dictate to you and say, hey, you know, this is the number I want. This is where I want to be comfortable at. And you got to be like, all right, man, dope. Let's get our lawyers on this and get the I's dotted and the T's crossed, because, man, I don't know if there's a more valuable player right now in the NFL than Pat Daddy. I don't know if there's a more dynamic, exciting guy who can put the team on his back right now than Mahomes. And like I said, that's probably, it's great news for the Chiefs and pretty terrible news for everyone else in the NFL, because they're the gold standard right now. They're the Super Bowl champs. They're the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. And every team for 2020 is aiming for them, and they are going to be, until someone knocks them off their perch, they're the champs. They're the people that you got to aim for. So, man, good for Pat. Glad he got his money, but that really bums me out that we have another decade. That's 2.5 presidential terms. Like, God only knows what we're going to be doing in 2032. I hope KMM is still with us. I'm going to be pushing, oh my God, I'm going to be almost 40. That is a sobering thought to think of. And oh boy, I don't even really want to think about that. So we're going to get out of that and transition into some happier news. And we're going to crack open our first six pack of 2020. Producer Trav, we've cracked a few six packs this calendar year, have we not?
Yeah, I think we did after the season.
Yeah. So this is our first six pack of the 2020 season, though. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? All right, so we're going to bring him in. He's going to go two segments today. Like I said, he's feeling good. He's feeling strong. Our senior esports correspondent and our junior draft analyst, as well as our resident expert on all things Southern California, the great, the legendary Kyle Cannon, Booby Cartwright Martin. KMM, where are you today? I never know. Surprise me.
I'm at my remote location in Alameda, you know, my true home, the island life, just cruising and bruising today, you know, hanging out, drinking a couple brewskis later, I hope.
Yes. Hit me with the temperature. What's beautiful Alameda coming in at today?
Beautiful Alameda, California is coming in at 70 degrees right now, but it's going to reach a high of 77.
That is perfect. That is Garden of Eden type weather. We're looking at, I think, 106 today here in the desert. So certainly not that balmy, beautiful 77. I see in the Zoom that you're wearing a hoodie, so I can't imagine it's that warm. Yeah, brother. We're creeping up towards the weekend, too. It's getting hotter this weekend. We're looking at like 112. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I haven't worn a sweatshirt since I lived in California.
AC bill is going to be looking real nice.
Yeah, man. It's actually not that bad. It's more than I'd like it to be, but all things considered, not terrible. So, KMM, let's get into the six-pack. We're feeling good. We're feeling all right. Yeah. And let us crack our first question. Oh, there it is. So, Kyle, I will ask you this. Bigger number in 2020. Tyrell Williams receiving yards from a year ago, 651, or Henry Ruggs III receiving yards in 2020. What do you got?
I'm going to say Henry Ruggs goes north of 800 yards.
Ooh.
I think he's going to get a lot of deep passes, so he's going to accumulate a lot of yards that way. And plus, he's good after the catch, so he might take a slant route over the middle and just torch people upfield. And I think that's how he's going to get most of his yardage. I don't think he's going to get a ton of receptions, but I think he's going to be able to, you know, have a few hundred-yard games. And, I mean, all pending if he stays healthy, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go with you. I'm going to say he goes north of 651, but I don't know if I'm comfortable saying he gets to 800. And that's no slight on Hank at all. You just look at this team now, the offensive weapons that they have on the roster. Josh Jacobs is going to have to get his. Darren Waller is certainly going to get his. Tyrell, let's not forget that Tyrell wasn't healthy a year ago. Hunter Renfrow is still going to be in the mix. I mean, I think he goes north of 651, but 800 to me seems like a big number. And just for reference, so Hollywood Brown was the first wide receiver off the board last year in 2019, and he had 584 receiving yards. So I think he's going to eclipse Hollywood. I think he gets more than Tyrell did a year ago, but 800 is it's a big number, man.
Marquise did have 584 yards, but he only started in 11 games. So
a fair point. A fair point. A fair point.
He played in 14, but I don't know. It's different. If you're not starting, if you're a receiver and you're not starting, that makes a big difference. So I don't know. We'll see. I agree with you that Derek Carr loves to spread the ball around. He's not, you know, that's not a secret by any means. And he's, like you again pointed out, there's several options and weapons for him this year. You know, he loves to throw to the running back, Jalen Richard. Don't forget about him. So we'll see. There's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense now, but none of them can run as far and as fast as Henry Ruggs III. So
that's true. And let's not forget, I know it was a year ago and I know things have changed a lot, but when this team was at its most effective offensively in 2019, they were a run first team. It was get Josh Jacobs going north to south, get Alec Ingold his touches, get Jalen and D-Wash, may he rest in power in Kansas City, get them going, and then, you know, kind of dink and dunk and spread the ball out. But yeah, I don't know. 2020 is going to be a new year, but we are both in agreement. Big year for Hank Ruggs III, both saying he goes north of 651. So crack that first cold one for me, KMM.
All right, Eddie, my first question for the cold ones, of the second cold one of our six-pack. Who has more touchdowns at tight end this year, Foster Moreau or Darren Waller?
Ooh, that's intriguing. That's intriguing.
Darren Waller had 3 touchdowns last year, but he had over 1,000 yards, so a good trade-off. And Foster Moreau, before he was injured late in the season, he had 5 touchdowns and 174 receiving yards.
Ooh, dude, that's actually a really good question. More tutties. So we're no receiving yards, no receptions. We're talking strictly visits to the end zone, right?
Yes.
Dude, I'm gonna have to give it to Foster. You know, I'm going to have to say that Foster probably has more reservations for 6 than Darren. Only, and this, I mean, obviously the big caveat is if he's healthy and he's able to go, and obviously he's coming up that big injury at the end of last year. But if he's healthy, I'm going to take Foster, because not only is he going to be a year better, a year more knowledgeable in the system, a year with more tricks under his belt, not to mention he's going to be hanging out with Jason Witten a lot. So he's going to just naturally by osmosis get a ton of tight end knowledge. But he was so good at it as a rookie, being that red zone threat, that I can't imagine he's going to take a step back in that direction in 2020. Now, Waller obviously is a freak athlete, probably one of the best 2-3 tight end in the NFL. So Darren's going to get his. But I think the fact that Waller is going to command so much attention, and that Foster was so good at that, playing that role already in 2019, I'm going to go with Foster. More tutties.
I think that's fair. I mean, clearly he has a rapport with Derek in the red zone. Not that Waller doesn't have that rapport, but something about, I mean, it could be too. A lot of the time rookies, you know, they're able to get open in situations because defensive coordinators haven't seen enough tape on them. That could have been the case with Foster. You'd think that someone would pick up on it by the time he scored his third or fourth touchdown, but he still managed to get open. So I don't know. We'll see. I agree with you. I think Foster, if he's healthy, gets more TDs. But it'll be interesting in general to see how many touchdowns even go to the tight end position. Like you said earlier, so many mouths to feed. I could see Josh getting a lot more red zone carries. He had 7 touchdowns last year, but I could see him hitting 10 possibly. I don't know. Yeah, that's my bold prediction right there.
Josh,
which 10, might not even be that bold.
10 tutties total, or receiving and rushing combined?
10 rushing for sure.
I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, dude, let's not forget too that, like, as new age and as legitimate of a mad scientist as Grudog is, when that ball gets in the red zone and gets to the 5-yard line, gets to the 10-yard line, when you're like tasting touchdowns, we know what Gruden wants to do, right? He either wants to run the ball in, he wants to smash it in, or he wants to go to the tight ends. So, like, I think that kind of what we were talking about earlier, to piggyback off that, is like Hank Ruggs 3 is going to be so valuable for those 80 yards, right? Because he's the kind of guy who can take a little, like you said, a little slant ride. He can go 75 yards, take it to the house. But when things get tight, when they get compact in the red zone, Gruden wants to go to those big boys. He wants to feed Waller. He wants to feed Foster. He wants to feed Derek Carrier. So I don't know. I mean, I think you bring up a good point, but I think that our tight ends will feast again in 2020. Moving on to question 3. Oh, yes, sir, of the 6-pack. And isn't it nice to drink 3 beers before 11:30? That's a good day. That is a good day.
I wish I could spend, well, maybe not every day, but I wish I could spend the majority of my days that way.
Because, you know, we also have to preach the importance of moderation, right? All things in moderation. But some of our friends don't really excel in that. So let us encourage moderation and safety and designated driving. We digress. Question number 3 came in. After Josh, because Josh, we assume, barring anything incredible, is going to have the most carries on the roster in 2020, who has the second most carries? Now, just to refresh your memory a little bit, Josh had 242 last year, a number that I think we think is a little high where we'd like him to be. And then D-Wash was second with 108. So who is number 2 on the team in carries a year from now?
I'll go with Jalen. I think you're right. 242 carries is a lot. I could see that number dwindle down to maybe 210, 200, which would be great. You know, he's still getting plenty of opportunities to be a playmaker, which you need because Josh is a large identity on this team. But Jalen is a veteran. Coach Gruden clearly trusts him. Lynn Bowden Jr. is going to be that Swiss Army knife. I know that he'll probably get some carries in the mix, but he could be used more as a receiver. You know, all it takes too is, I mean, no disrespect or knock against Lynn Bowden Jr., but it happens with a lot of rookies where they come in, they fumble early on, and then it's hard to regain the trust of the coaching staff going forward. They know that he's gonna have to work through it. Not that he's even fumbled yet, but you get what I'm saying.
No, no, there's certainly a learning curve, and not only is there a learning curve, there's like a confidence curve too, right? Because as much as everyone wants to come in and think they're going to be the biggest badass on the block as a rookie, like you said, man, one fumble, you know, a drop pass here and there, that can get in your head a little bit, especially for a young guy.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, let's say the coach trots him out there. It's originally a pass play. He's got to be able to pass protect, I had that reversed. Let's say it's a run play. It's a design run play for Lynn Bowden, but then Derek sees something at the line of scrimmage that makes him think, I need to audible out of this and go to a pass play. There's a real opportunity here. If Lynn can't pass protect, there's going to be limitations to that. You know, he played a little bit of quarterback in the Wildcat at Kentucky. He might not be the biggest guy out of the gate. He could probably put on more size this season. So I just think they're going to ease him in. You know, they're going to want to not reveal their whole game plan with him to, you know, the division rivals and other teams around the league. So I think Jalen has the most opportunity to get carries behind Josh. He's proven that, you know, he can go off at any moment. He could bust out a 75-yard run catch a pass out of the backfield. So I'm going with my guy, Rocket Richard.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of went back and forth on this one a lot, because I think after Josh, I mean, by and large, the running backs room is a bit of a mystery this year. Obviously, you brought up Lynn Bowden, the Rockets there. Rod Smith, we don't really know much about. William Stanbeck, don't really know much about him. Devontae Booker, how is he going to figure into that room? So there are a lot of questions. And I went back and forth between Lynn and the Rocket, and Lynn and the Rocket and Lynn. And I decided, I kind of am in your camp a little bit. Well, not a little bit, a lot of bit. So I think it's going to be Jalen too. I think Jalen's going to have the second most carries on the team. And the reason I went there is because we were talking to Ole 2 weeks ago, maybe. He said, look, this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a hard year for rookies. Like, the transition to the NFL is hard as it is, but we haven't even seen these guys in person. So I think that you throw that in the mix, also knowing how much Gruden loves veterans, how much he likes to ride guys that he's comfortable with, how much, you know, knowing that he wants to give the ball to guys that he knows he can trust, and he can trust Jalen. And obviously that trust and that growth and that comfortability is going to come with Lynn, but this has been an incredible offseason. This has been the weirdest offseason in the history of offseasons. So it's not really fair to throw a guy like Lynn in for heavy reps, I would say, early on. So, but with Jalen, you know what you got. You know exactly what he's going to do, what he's capable of doing. And not only that, you know he can protect the ball and he can be where he needs to be. And let's not forget either, Coach Gruden, or was either Gruden or Mayock, said that Jalen is one of the best third down backs in the NFL. So they know what they have in Jalen. They know they can trust him. And I think that trust is going to be even more valuable in 2020. So I'm going with you, Rocket Richard, second on the team, behind old Josh Jacobs.
Right on, brother. I'm right there with you. Into my next question. As you brought up earlier, Derek has plenty of weapons this year. No excuses. He's got someone to throw to at every spot on the field, right? He's entering his third year in John Gruden's system. He's got to know it like the back of his hand at this point. So Derek in back-to-back years has gone for over 4,000 yards. I expect him to go for over 4,000 yards a consecutive year. But does he reach 30 touchdown passes, which he's only able to achieve once in his career? His sophomore season, he threw for 32 touchdowns.
Was that in 2016 or is that 2015?
2015.
2015.
In 2016, he probably would have achieved the 30 touchdown mark, but obviously injury prevented him from doing that. He was too shy. So you can make the argument that he's had two seasons with 30 touchdowns, but technically just the one.
Man, how many did he have a year ago, Kyle?
Last year he had 21 touchdowns with 8 interceptions.
You know what? I'm gonna say that Derek has less than 30. And that's not an indictment on him, really. I just think that for kind of all the reasons that we've talked about, well, one of the reasons is that when this team was at its best a year ago, and I know that this team is different now, I know there are more offensive weapons, I know, especially out wide. But when this team was at their best, they were a run-first team. They were an established tone at the line of scrimmage team. They were a run behind that big offensive line kind of team. Get Josh and those boys rolling. And so I think Derek goes up from 21. I don't know if he hits 30, though.
I agree that I think that the team's identity is definitely behind the offensive line with Josh. However, last year, Derek's wide receiving core was decimated.
It was abysmal. We can call it what it is. Yeah.
All he had to throw to was a hampered Tyrell Williams a rookie Hunter Renfrow, and obviously Darren Waller had quite the year, but that was Darren Waller was his go-to guy for the most part. So this year he's got a healthy supporting cast. He's got added depth. And hopefully the offensive line can stay healthy. Colton Miller, he's entering his third year now, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to imagine that Colton's improved this offseason. He took a leap forward in 2019. I think everything is pointing to Derek definitely throwing for more touchdowns. I agree. I don't know if I can say that he hits 30, but I feel like there's a better chance this year than there was obviously last year because he has a lot more weapons to throw to. So the opportunities will be there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think we both of us obviously expect him to throw more than 21. I think 21 is, he's going to eclipse that pretty easily. 30 is a big number. And what we were saying a few minutes ago, we're like, when things get really tight down in the red zone, I mean, I think it's going to be the Alec Ingold, Josh Jacobs show by and large. I mean, granted, Gruden's never going to get predictable and all that stuff, but 30 is a big number. And I think that Josh has got to get his touches. Josh is going to be a year better, a year stronger, a year more comfortable. You got to let the big man eat. Let him eat. Yeah. So up from 21, but I don't know if I'm comfortable saying he gets to 30. And if he gets to 30, great, you know. But, I mean, we know Derek, and I don't think he would care if he threw 3 touchdowns or 30 touchdowns as long as his team ends up in the postseason somehow 6 months from now. So my final question to you, KMM, the fifth of our sixer, I'm going to give you an over-under. We're out here in the desert, right? We can talk in these terms. Over-under, 28.5 sacks allowed by the Raiders in 2020. They gave up 20. They gave up 29 last year, which was the 8th fewest in the NFL. So we had a top 10 offensive line. That's no secret. 8th fewest in the NFL. So over-under, 28.5.
I mean, they were the 8th best, and that was with an offensive line where all the starters hardly played together.
Yeah, very little synergy.
So I think they give up less sacks for sure. I mean, like I said just a little bit ago, Colton Miller, he's going to improve. Rodney Hudson, he's an iron man. It's rare that he ever misses a game. Prior to last year, he went 3 straight years playing all 16 games. Last year, he missed 1. Trent Brown, I imagine that he's going to have some more. He's going to play a little more games this year. Gabe Jackson's still a force. Hopefully he doesn't get injured in training camp this year. It all depends on health, right? But
yeah, and you forgot about Rich Incognito, who very quietly had what an incredible first season in Silver and Black. And he's coming back a year better, a year more comfortable. Yeah, man.
I agree. I think, too, a lot of those sacks, I mean, you can make the argument that because Derek didn't have the receivers that he wanted to throw to, it takes longer for him to get the ball out of his hands. It takes longer for his receivers to run their routes, get through their breaks. With Henry Ruggs III, speed is going to be the name of the game. Derek's going to be firing it out of his hand quick, which means it's going to be less time for opposing defensive linemen to get to him. So I think fewer sacks, more touchdowns, and overall improvement on the offense in 2020.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take the under on that one too, which is crazy to say because, I mean, 29 sacks, pretty darn good over the course of 16 games, especially when you think about the pass rushers that reside in the AFC West. That's pretty darn good. But I'm going to take the under too, man. Like you said, you're bringing the entire front five back. They're going to be a year better, a year stronger, a year healthier. This team is built. Gruden has said it, Mayock has said it time and time again. This team is built around the offensive line. This offensive line has been invested in heavily and for good reason. And by and large, these guys showed up in a big way last year. Now, I know the injury bug came for, it seemed like everyone on the 53 last year, but the offensive line in general, like we very seldom saw that front five play consistently together. And if they can stay healthy this year, man, if they can do kind of play up to their potential and play together, I'm going to take the under by a long shot. So yes, under 28.5.
My last question for you, Eddie, is it's a bit of a fun one. It's not going to be too much evaluation or crunching the numbers here, but we saw Spider 2Y Banana a couple times last year. Do we see it more than the 2 times that we saw it last year in 2020? Because now that Alec Ingold's got a season under his belt, it's not a play that Coach Gruden's going to throw out once a game. But you know he loves the play. Alec Ingold is clearly a stud, and it resulted in a couple of touchdowns last year. So do we see more Spider 2Y Banana?
Ooh, boy. It breaks my heart because I love the play. It's a great play. Obviously, incredibly successful. The hit rate on it, if you will, astronomical. But it's got to be under, right? I mean, Ingold's not going to surprise anyone this year. You know? Like,
I agree.
I'd love to say we're going to see it more, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good one. How many times did we run it last year? Twice, you said?
I believe, if my memory serves correct.
You know, I'll say we see it twice again next year. I'll go push. I'll take the coward's way out, and I'll say we're going to push on that one. We'll see it twice more in 2020.
Okay, this is just a follow-up question. We know Coach Gruden, also another play that he's very fond of, is the jet sweep. I imagine that we see a lot more with Henry Ruggs this year, considering here and in previous years we relied on Dwayne Harris as our speedster to run the jet sweep. So I'm taking the over in years past compared with Henry Ruggs.
You were not a fan of the jet sweep in 19.
If you have the speed, do it, baby. But I can't doubt it because clearly Dwayne Harris still had something in the tank. The man returned that crazy touchdown a couple years ago. So he has the speed to clearly just blow past people, but at the goal line, I don't know if Gucci Harris is the guy.
I wonder what Gucci Harris is doing right now. He's not on the roster. He's not on our roster. Has he been signed anywhere, Trev? Do you know? Is Gucci employed at the moment? Trav's looking it up. But I'm with you, man. I'll take over on the jet sweeps. I mean, you got Hank Ruggs. Let's not forget that Tyrell is a pretty speedy guy too. His feet are in a much better place than they were a year ago. So you can have Tyrell do that. Zay Jones. I mean, you definitely have more. You got more options on the end around fly sweep game. What do you got, Travy?
Looks like he's still a free agent.
Gucci unemployed.
Unemployed.
We should get Gucci on the pod. Gucci still, I mean, say what you want about the man, but he has, without question, the best signing photo in the history of signing photos. You guys remember that? He came in with Gucci and blue, or what was it? OJ and blue for his two Yorkshire Terriers. Oh my God.
Blinged out with sweaters and everything.
Yeah. What a world. What a confusing world we were living in at the time, and I guess we're still living in a pretty confusing world. But I felt good about those six, man. That was a good sixer, and we got another one next week, so we got to put those ice cold Coors Lights on ice, get them nice and frosty. Shout out the Frosty Boys for next week, and we will do it all again. But before we get out of here, we have to end the program as we always do. A little victory formation, and I don't even have to intro any of us because we've all gone wire to wire. So KMM, victory formation, real quick. Hit me with that sweet, 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 boring game of the week.
Well, this week, I don't know. It's more of the circumstances make this a boring game of the week. The boring game of the week, in my opinion, is Liverpool v. Brighton in the Premier League. This is happening at 12:15. This afternoon, actually. But it's my boring game of the week because Liverpool's already won the Premier League. There's nothing in it for them. They could care less. They've already achieved what they set out to do. Brighton is 5 points clear of West Ham and Watford. Obviously, West Ham and Watford are fighting for the opportunity to not get relegated. They're sitting right above those three spots. I don't know. Brighton, it's tough to see them beating Liverpool. I don't know. They're on the line in this one for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's not going to move the meter for me. That might be like a have it on in the background as I'm eating lunch type game, but I'm not sitting down and watching that bad boy. Next week, because we're going to have MLS back in the mix, right? And baseball. When does baseball come back? When do games start on that officially?
Ooh, let me hit a quick goog.
I want to say it's about 2 weeks, right?
You could be right about that. The MLB returns July 23rd.
Oh, boy. So literally about 2 weeks. I can't wait to have like a Pirates-Reds boring game of the week, a Sunday day game or something. That'll be good.
You know, I feel like it'll be easier, or maybe harder, I should say, to pick a boring game of the week for the MLB this season, because finally, through the circumstances of a pandemic, we've shortened the season and every game feels important now. You have Padres fans coming out of the woodwork saying that this could be the year because there's less opportunity to mess it up.
It won't be, but go ahead.
I agree. The Padres will live at the bottom of the division for some time, but watch. Now that I say that, I'm going to end up on freezing cold takes or something. But yeah, MLB season, every game will matter. I'm, as you know, very excited for the NBA to return. Did you see the images of the food in the bubble?
Oh, I sure have. I sure have. I can't imagine LBJ is pleased by that. There's no way.
I can't imagine LBJ is eating that. LBJ is off in his private villa somewhere in Orlando with his own chef. He's not eating hotel food. Like it looks like airplane food.
Let me ask you this. Do you think LBJ has a nicer suite than like J.R. Smith?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Do you think LBJ has the nicest residence in Orlando?
Oh, yes, I do. I think it's nicer than Adam Silver's. Not that Adam Silver's. Adam Silver might be there just to make sure that everything goes A-OK in the beginning. But I think LBJ is in the presidential suite.
Do you think there's like drama between guys when they like show up there? Because they start showing up tomorrow, I believe, right? When they're looking at each other's rooms or whatever, like, oh man, this guy's got a nice room, this guy's got a nice room, and I'm staring at the ice machine.
Yeah, I guarantee you that there's probably, you know, the Troy Daniels or the random bench warmers of the world. I'm sure there's a lot of people who look at LeBron and it's just like, of course LeBron gets that because he's LeBron. But I mean, yeah, to that point, it is LeBron James. I mean, the man gets royalty treatment wherever, because he's a king. King James.
King James. Oh man. Well, I'm like you. I'm like you, man. I can't wait for basketball to start up, and hopefully we're not behind them too far. But yeah, we're slowly inching our way back to sport. And I, for one, am very fired up about that. Trevor Maya, we got a few minutes on the back end here. Do you think we have ample time to crack a few ice cold Coors Lights?
Let's crack them.
So we're on beers 7, 8, and 9. Excellent. Getting lubed up. Feeling good, feeling all right. Who wants to go first?
I believe who went first last week?
I did, because none of you guys responded, remember?
I can go. I'll go first.
All right, Trav Amaya, producer Trav. Crack that cold one, baby.
Mine's for the great composer Ennio Morricone. I don't know if you know who he is, but he recently passed away. And he did the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which Kyle, I know.
Yep.
He did all those kind of movies. And then also Charlie Daniels, another musician.
Oh, dude, pour one out to Charlie. Pour one out for both those guys. But yeah, man, for sure. Chuck Daniels, may he rest in power. I saw a great tweet. Well, I wouldn't say great, but it was about his passing. And the tweet was, you know, Charlie Daniels, you know, passed away. And he goes, I know the devil tried to get a soul today and he didn't get one. And I was like, yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Good stuff. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Sorry, this is a little inside baseball, but Travy, that's the one that Plunk has as his ringtone, right?
Yes. So that song, Ennio Morricone, he did that song.
Fun fact, if anyone wants to know what Jim Plunkett's ringtone is, that's what it is.
I wish I knew the name of that song, but
that one, right? Yeah. Are we gonna get like taken down now for copyright infringement?
Oh, I think we're probably a little out of tune, so we're probably okay.
All right, dope. I like that. But yeah, man, rest in power to those two guys. Very hate to see him go, but long lives for the both of them, right? Long healthy lives.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. KMM, what do you got, big fella?
Well, I'm gonna crack a cold one to your close personal friend John Cueto, because I look forward to seeing him match up with Clayton Kershaw on the mound, and he's gonna need a cold one after that. He might need it. They might have to bring him out a cold brewski mid-inning. Just wave him down for a water break.
Listen, if there's any man who could use like a nice cold bruchacho in between like the third and the fourth, it's my close personal friend, John Cueto. He earned it.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he's his horses. I'm going to crack a cold one yes. for his horses as well.
John Cueto, a legend. Absolutely gorgeous. That's a good one, man. I know you're kind of making fun of John Cueto a little bit, so I do resent that slightly, but nevertheless, let the record show that you cracked a nice ice cold bruchacho for Johnny Cueto. So there it is. I will crack a cold one for actually a friend of the program, the great Alec Ingold. So Alec Ingold is partnering with Adopt US Kids, bringing awareness for the need of adoptive and foster children. And as an adopted guy myself, man, it is something I care deeply about. And Alec doing what he needs to do, bringing a little awareness, doing good guy stuff like he usually does. So Alec Ingold, this ice cold Coors Light is for you, baby. Crack. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. That was good today. I felt good about that one. How do you guys feel?
Was that higher than a 4 or 5 on the 10 scale?
Yeah, you were. That was like a strong like 7 to 8 from you. But in a spirit of full transparency, I kind of enjoy like the 4 to 5 KMM when you're just despondent, when you're just waiting for the clock to run out, waiting to go to bed or eat a sandwich or whatever you're doing. Like that's a good KMM. Obviously, you were much more locked in today, but I enjoy sad KMM.
You know, he comes in waves.
Yeah.
Well, I think when we have him on video too, it helps.
Oh yeah, that helps too. When his connectivity is where it needs to be. Speaking of sadness though, before we get out of here, I was just thinking about your the darkness that you and everyone else battles on the daily, Booby. And the boss was telling me that she recently started a new job actually this week. And so she went in and she had to meet with the HR professional to, you know, do the paperwork and things like that, right? And she was saying that the gentleman who was her on-take guy or whatever, you know, really hit her with some heavy darkness on day one, talking about his divorce and you know how that story ends, don't you?
What an introduction to your new job. That's unfortunate. Really laying all your cards out on the table.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely. I mean, I told Kirsten, I was like, listen, I kind of respect the fact that like day one, he was just like, this is who I am. Just putting it out there. This is who I am. Love me, hate me. But if you need to confirm how many sick days you got, I'm going to be your guy.
Oh, it's troubling. How much information people are willing to share with complete strangers, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I don't think Kirsten even knows my social security number and we're married. You know, I like to keep everything very, very close to the vest.
Yeah, you're a man of secrecy.
No. I don't know if secrecy is the right term, Kyle. Security. I'm a man of security. Because secrets implies that there's something nefarious going on, and that's simply not the case. But security means that you're locked up. Everything that needs to be under lock and key is under lock and key. And on that note, we'll see you guys next week. This is a good show today. We'll be back. And I believe if I'm looking at the schedule correctly, defensive six pack next week. So get your questions rocking and rolling, Kyle. Keep this energy up. And we will be back bigger, faster, stronger, healthier, and still 99.9%. from our homes for another episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.